My, I was so touched with our missionary's story tonight. And he preached part of my sermon, which I'm just going to confirm what he was saying. Hallelujah. Because that's what the Spirit is saying tonight. I am going to be speaking to you tonight from the 34th Psalm. One of the greatest psalms. All psalms are great, but there are great, great, great psalms. Some of these psalms that are incredible. And this psalm has been such a powerful influence in my life. And it's such a great psalm that everybody ought to get to know it. You ought to really, some of these psalms, you ought to just do your best to put them to memory and live with them and get them inside of you because they're powerful. And listen to the introduction. This psalm, so much is said in the little fine print just before the psalm, explaining the psalm. Now, some Bibles don't have it. I would advise you to get one that does, that gives the word of explanation where it is found. It says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. That's when this psalm was born. The story is really told in 1 Samuel, starting at the 19th chapter, 19, 20, 21 through to 22. All these chapters in this great book, these chapters all tell the climax that finally climaxed in David's life when he was finally had this experience with Abimelech, who was the king of Gath. Achish is actually his name. This is his title. And his actual name of the king is Agash. He was the king of Gath. It all began when Saul decided, without a doubt, that he was going to kill David. And David is now playing for Saul in the palace, and he's playing his harp for King Saul because there's an evil spirit that's come on King Saul. And when it would come on him, then they'd send for David to come and get the harp out and pray this heavenly music and sing these psalms. And this was a psalm that was sung. And he would sing these psalms that we're reading. And when he would do it, the spirit, evil spirit, would leave King Saul. But on this occasion, it didn't. He is so filled with hatred that he takes his javelin and tries to pin him to the wall, to kill him with everything that's in King Saul. He decides to kill David. He's jealous of him. And he's so tremendously jealous of the popularity of David. David escapes from his presence. David goes home and to Saul's daughter. He is married to her, to Michal. He goes home, and Saul now sends men to watch the house and to kill David when he comes out in the morning. And David, that night, Michal has gotten word of this and lets him down through a window through the night so that these men will not catch him, and he escapes. Finally, he escapes, and goes around and he meets, in a few days, he meets with his great friend Joab, Jonathan, his Saul's son. And he is so moved, and Jonathan is so moved because Jonathan has tried to save David with his father, has spoken kindly of him. Now, Jonathan has spoken at a dinner they've had, a great feast at the new moon, and David's seed is not there. And whenever he's missed, King Saul gets so, he says, where is David? And Jonathan defends him. And Saul takes a javelin and throws it at his son. Then Jonathan knows that there's no way. He's determined to kill David. So they meet. Jonathan and David meet and weep. They have such a bond. Jonathan is so bonded to David when he saw the courage of David that killed Goliath, and he became bonded to him and appreciated him so much and loved him so much. They weep. David has lost his place now. He's left his home. Now he is breaking up. He realizes he won't be able to see his friend anymore. And he and Jonathan weep and weep. And he's brokenhearted. And he's fleeing for his life. Where can he go? Where can he go? Because the greatest army in the world at that time was the Israeli army. One of the greatest, perhaps the greatest, was King Saul's army with the Jewish soldiers. The whole place now, King Saul has announced in that first chapter 19, for all the leaders, we're going to kill David. Wherever you see him, kill him. Great reward will go if they can kill him. Where does he go? So he decides to escape to Gath, where he has killed Goliath. Now, how he disguises himself to begin with, I don't know. It doesn't say, that part of the story isn't told. But he goes there in disguise, proving to be somebody outstanding that the king will need. And he gets there and finds that maybe I can escape here to Gath. And the men around the king, his servants, it says, say to king, this is David. Do you know who you've been entertaining here, who you have in your house? This is David. This is the man that killed Goliath. And he said, they sang to him in Israel. Saul has killed his thousands. The song became famous. Has killed his thousands, and David has killed 10,000. Do you know who this is? And David hears this, that they've found out who he is. Now, he doesn't know what to do. How can he get? He's now fleeing from King Saul. Now he is he's caught in Gath, and he decides, I'll act like I'm crazy. I'll go crazy. And it says he lets his drool, he lets his slob and his spit run down. Oh, he run down over his beard. I don't know what he did to his hair, and messed it up and tore his clothes and walked crazy and bent down, and said he got down and he scratched on the doors of the gate, and he wrote, scribbled on those things, and he acted crazy, and he put on a crazy act trying to save his life, and he convinces them that he's crazy, and which is remarkable. And he convinces them that he's crazy, and the king says, take this crazy man out. Do we need a crazy man advising us here? We have enough crazy people. Please. And how he escapes, no, we don't know. But he escapes. And he goes back to Judah to a cave, Adullam. There happens to be quite a few, many, many caves in that land. He finds this cave in Adullam. And he is so relieved. He's lost his fame. Now, he was one of the most famous men, best known in the kingdom. He is the king's son-in-law. He's lost all of that. Now, he has lost his wife. Now, he has lost Jonathan. Now, he has lost his honor. He's acted crazy. He's lost his self-respect crazy. But he escapes. And he comes to Adullam, to this cave. And in this cave life, he writes this psalm. It says, when he escapes, he gives birth to this incredible psalm. In a terrible situation, this is what he writes. I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to praise God at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. And the humble will hear and be glad. Now, he knows all about being humble now. His praise will continually be in my mouth. It doesn't matter where I am and who's with me. I am going to be a praiser. I am going to praise God for what he's done for me. He spared my life. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together, he says. Come and let's praise God with me. I've got so much to praise God for. Here's the secret. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. I was so frightened with King Saul. Now he's still after him, but somehow he has gained confidence. And he's so frightened at Achish. He's so afraid. And he says, God has delivered me out of my fears. He's helped me. And he says, I'm going to praise God. He spared my life. He's kept me. He's watched over me. He has been so close to death. And he's just a hair's breadth away from it. And God has intervened. And he says, I'm going to praise God and I'm going to thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me out of my fears. They looked to him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man, David, cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I prayed, he says, and it was said so beautifully by our missionary. I pre-praise. Let me tell you tonight, the answer is if you have fear, if you have trouble, if you are in this bad situation, a dangerous situation, or whatever it is, let me tell you tonight, the answer is call on the Lord. He'll do for you what he did for David. Don't ever give up. Pray. Seek God when things go wrong. He's had a string of events of everything is going wrong. One thing after another. Now he is in this desperate place. But here he writes one of the greatest psalms in the darkest place, in the cave. After he's just escaped, he pens this word for eternity. Call on the Lord when trouble comes and when everything goes against you and when everything turns out. He has lost everything, folks. He's lost it all. He can't, he doesn't have the end of the story. You know, so it's not so exciting to us because we have the end of the story. No, David doesn't have the end of the story. Saul is still after him. He's in a cave and he's writing this incredible psalm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take courage tonight. Take courage, whoever you are, that you've come here and things have gone wrong and Satan is after you. No doubt he is. There's people in here that I'm speaking to tonight. But God wants to deliver you and help you. He wants you to call on him. He wants you to get to know him. He's a God that answers prayer. When your back is against the wall, when everything turns against you, don't you throw in the towel. You call on God with all of your heart. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God saved him, he says, out of my fears. You know, that's been one of the great problems of my life. I've had a lot of fear. And I say that humbly because it's not anything to brag about. But I've had a lot of fear in my life. But God has delivered me when I've prayed. And he wants to deliver you. If you're in here tonight with fear, God wants to take the fear out of you. He said he's delivered me out of my fears. God has delivered me and saved me. God wants to take you and deliver you out of the fear. I don't know what your fear is. Fear can come in all kinds of ways. Fear of death, fear with illness, and fear of situation, and fear of loss of job, and fear, all kinds of fears. Fears of safety. God wants to deliver you. Call on God just like David did tonight. Call on God tonight. Ask God before you leave this building tonight. Tonight, let God give you a deliverance that you overcome fear, that you overcome Satan trying to put a fear on you. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me now? And what's going to happen in my physically or financially or in my marriage or my life or my children, whatever the fear is, let's conquer that fear tonight with prayer and walk out of here in faith believing, because God answers prayer and He wants to save you out of your fear. Fear is that great weapon of Satan. That's one of his greatest weapons. He goes around as a roaring lion. He puts fear on us, but God wants to deliver you. He delivered David from fear, and He wants to deliver you from fear tonight. I come against fear in the name of Jesus tonight, that you walk out of here with faith believing, face the situation. God can take care of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear Him and delivers them. Somewhere in this story, David is aware that angels were taking care of him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the angels guarded him. They've been guarding him. They were keeping him when Saul tried to kill him and pin him to the wall. Angels were there to see that that javelin didn't hit him. The angels were there. It was an angel that got the message to his wife that he should get out of that house, because they were going to come in the morning and they demanded him in the morning, and they go upstairs and she has put a pillow in the place of David and put some kind of a skin over his for his hair, and they go there and it's not David. He's escaped. But an angel let her get the message. An angel was taking care of him. An angel was watching around him. An angel, I don't know how he got the idea of acting crazy, but somehow another, an angel helped him to act real crazy, right? And he convinced them all, but the angels kept him. And he says, angels are watching over you, and you don't even realize it, because when you read the story, you don't really see where the angels are. But he says it was the angels that did it. He says, angels encamp around about us that fear the Lord, and He delivers us. The angels help you. God has got angels watching over you, and are watching over you in the subway, or watching over you wherever you go. You're not going alone. The angels are going with you. Hallelujah. The angel, as I've gotten older, I am so aware of angels helping me. Angels are helping us. Angels are watching over you. He says they encamp around about those that fear the Lord. The angels of the Lord are around you. You are not alone. Praise God. He says it. Hallelujah. The angels of the Lord, the angels are there. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear Him, that fear the Lord, and delivers them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's thank Him for angels tonight. Thank you. Thank Him for angels tonight. Thank Him for angels helping us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Angels are in this place tonight. I remember years ago I was praying and we had a great move of the Spirit in a spirit world. All of a sudden I saw the place filled with angels as we were praising God. The angels are here tonight. God's presence is here. Hallelujah. And we are not by ourselves. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in Him. Verse 8, oh, taste it, try it for yourself. You've got to test it for yourself. It's not enough to hear me. It's not enough to hear someone else. It's not enough to hear us give the story and to tell what God has done for us, which is wonderful. God wants to do it for you. He wants you to taste it. He wants you to see it. He wants you to experience it. He wants you to walk with Him. He wants you to know Him. He wants a personal relationship with you that's just between you and God. That He guards you, that His angel is with you, that He plans for you. Hallelujah. He says, try it. Come on, try it. I'm here to tell you tonight, try it. It works. Praise God. Say it works. It works. It works. Try it for yourself. Don't just hear these testimonies. God wants to give you a testimony. That's why you're going through a hard place. That's why you're in the cave of Adullam. God wants to give you a psalm. He wants to give you the victory. He wants to give you a song. And He wants to put it into your soul. In the darkest night, in the worst of the situation, God will give you a song. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. There is no want to them that fear Him. Young lions lack, and they get hungry. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He says, the greatest lions, the young, the strongest, might not be able to get their meal. They might go hungry. They may not make it. But if you fear the Lord, He's going to give you every good thing. All good things. Hallelujah. Do you believe that verse? Do you believe that verse? Praise God. God wants you to believe it. He will give it to you. He wants to help you, but He wants you to know it's Him. He wants you to know it's God. It's God that does it. It's God that takes care of us. It's God that gives us every good gift come from the Lord. Hallelujah. They shall not want any good thing. He will give it to you. Hallelujah. I'm a great appreciate December 31st and Watch Night so much. It means so much to me. Every year I go through a certain remembering, because that was the time. It was in New Year's when I was just 3 years old, 2 years old really to be exact, just before my third birthday. We had moved down to, my mother had six children, no father. We had such a difficult time, and we lived in a little town called Dunn at that time, North Carolina. We had moved from Connecticut to near some of her folks in North Carolina. I was two. We had no way to pay the rent, no way in the world to pay it. No husband, no father. That was one of the reasons of my fear. Raised with no father, I was susceptible to fear more than most folk and a lot of people. And my mother was praying that night, nowhere to go, no way in the world to pay the rent, no state aid, no city aid, no help, no husband, no income, none. And she went to church and prayed, and it was watch night. She prayed till midnight, and she was cried out to God, what am I going to do with six children? I was two, and my sister was 11, and my brother was 10, and the next one was 9, and one was 5, and the other one was 7. We were, all of us, the oldest one was 11. Nowhere to live. No way in the world to live. Where do we go? We lived in a wrong side of the tracks in a humble, very humble house, but we couldn't even pay the rent on that. And my mother prays, doesn't give up, and cries out. And that night, God said to her, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Hallelujah. She said, I went home praising God, didn't know what we was going to do. And a few days, my uncle came, and he's a Baptist minister. We're Pentecostal, and we're not all that close. You know. But he comes down to see my mother, drives around, and goes back home and says, Mary, the house we saw, very humble house, but a wonderful house. I have bought that house. Move in. It's yours. He paid the taxes on that house. Praise God. Let's give him a praise. Praise God. We never paid rent. We never paid taxes. He gave us the whole thing. He took care of the taxes, took care of everything. And we live there, and that's one of the greatest things of my life, because I love that house. It was the home, has never been a home that was as much a home as that was. Humble place, yes. We didn't have any paint to paint it. It was never got painted for 12 years, folks. You can imagine what it looked like. But it was wonderful because it was home, and God provided it. And let me tell you something. God can provide. And that is a great testimony. I've never forgot it. On New Year's Day till this day, I thank God He gave us that home. And when you don't have a place to go, I don't care. And let me tell you tonight, God does not depend. We wish your job will hold out, but if it doesn't, I want to tell you tonight that God has another one. He's got a way. He can take care of you. It doesn't matter what happens. Don't ever surrender. Pray, and He'll take care of you. The lions may lack, and the rich may lose their money in Wall Street or wherever, but if you'll trust God, He'll take care of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Come, you children. That's the right time to learn it is children, but it's good for the children of God of any age. Hearken to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Your tongue has to do with the length of your life. The words you speak have to do with how long you will live. If you desire life and love many days and you want to see good, keep your tongue from evil, from all evil, and your lips from guile or deceitful. Honest. True, from the inside of you, depart from evil in your thinking and in your lifestyle. Don't let evil dwell in your mind. Never accept it. Do good, kind, good to people. Good. You're a good person. You're kind. You'll go out of your way, take care of people, be kind, be thoughtful, look after folks, take the responsibility, be the person that God wants you to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Seek peace. Pursue peace when it eludes you. Seek peace. Love peace. Don't be a troublemaker. Don't ever do that. Be a peacemaker, never troublemaker. Never carry gossip and stories and that, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those that do evil, to cut off their remembrance from the earth. But the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near or nigh unto those that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The humble of spirit and those of broken hearted. David was broken hearted when he wrote this psalm. He had wept so much with Jonathan. He had lost so much, and he could understand it. And he wrote this fabulous psalm at this dark time in his life. But the light is shining because he's seeking God, and faith has come to him, and his fears are gone. And now he's sharing that knowledge with us tonight, that that's what you do when everything has gone wrong. Then you turn to God, and the light will come upon you, and the light will be in your face, and God will take care of you and provide for you. The Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now, we would all have been just as happy if he hadn't had to put that verse in there. Many. Say many.
Many.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The righteous suffer a lot, and we have lots of afflictions. So don't expect the fact that you're with God that you aren't going to get any of these experiences that we're talking about. They're not peculiar to just a few of us. We all, the righteous, have many of these experiences. And if it's never happened to you, be patient. Your turn is coming. But God delivers him out of them all. God takes you out of every one of them. God lifts you out of every one of them. Every situation, every hard place, every bad place, he delivers him out of them all. Now tonight, in conclusion, I want you, if you have fear, to get rid of it tonight, to cry out to God. If you're worried about certain things tonight, or if you're in problems or trouble, I want you tonight to seek God as we close this evening's service. Let's let that psalm be born into you. He delivers them out of them all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we are going to stand in his presence. And you will be a better man and a better woman. And you'll come to know the Lord in a personal way. You'll see him and experience him yourself. He wants you to know him and how he can deliver you, how he can help you. He cares about you. He wants you to experience this psalm, not just David and a few. It's for you tonight. Take a hold of it and receive it in the name of Jesus. God bless you, everyone. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Folks, this is a fearful time to be alive without God. But in God, that perfect love of God, the scripture says, drives away all fear. Gives us the victory over fear. To know that I am in the hand of God, you are in the hand of God. And no matter what comes our way, there's been a thought all of my life thus far that has kept me. I am until God says I'm not. Praise God. You are until God says you're not. Your days are in his hand, not in the stock market's hand, not in anybody out in the subway that you'll meet tonight. No, your days are in the hand of God. And there's such a confidence comes into the heart when you and I become aware that we are not destined to be victims of circumstance. We are in the hand of God, as Paul says. We've placed our lives there, and God is well able to keep it until the day he takes us home to be his own forever. Praise be to God. It's wonderful to be able to leave this sanctuary tonight with a song in your heart, with a bounce in your step, knowing that you're in the hand of God, you're protected by God, you'll be kept by God, you'll be strengthened by God, you'll be preserved by God, provided for by God. Hallelujah. There's trust that comes into the heart. There's faith that comes into the heart. And not only do we have the faith to survive and exist, but we have a faith that comes into the heart that enables us to believe for others around us, enables us to reach out way beyond our own borders and our own struggles and our own trials. And as the Edisons do, for example, to say, God, continue to use my life to be a blessing to others. Take me into impossible situations. God, bring good to other people to whom good would not come if you were not able to send me into that, if I was not willing to go in your strength into that place. God wants to do something through you tonight, but first he's got to drive fear out of your heart. You cannot have fear in your heart and faith at the same time, folks. You've got to have faith in God, and that faith will give you the power to walk through every valley of the shadow of death that will ever stand before you with a triumphant song in your heart as David did. Praise God. When we stand in just a moment, I'm going to ask for those that are battling with fear. And folks, you know my story. I know what that's all about too, as well as Brother Crandall. But I have experienced the deliverance of God over fear in my heart and life. And tonight, if you'll trust the Lord, he'll set you free from fear. He'll break that crippling power, because it is a crippling power in your life, and replace it with a confident trust in a mighty and a holy God. As we stand together, if God is speaking to you to be set free from fear, come to this altar, please. Pastor Crandall's going to come back this evening and pray with you. And we're going to believe God for a mighty deliverance. Let's stand together, please.
Praise God. Let's just put our hands up to the Lord tonight all over this place. We want to thank him because he paid the price on the cross to defeat every fear and every power of Satan and every evil spirit that will come against you. And we thank you for the victory tonight, and I want you to claim the victory. Ask God to remove it. Be honest with him and lay it at his feet and tell him you asking him to take care of this, take this fear out of you, and to put the faith in you and claim the promises. Claim the word of God. Let the word come into you, because God has planned for you to be victorious. He is anxious for you to be victorious. He is more anxious for you than you are for yourself. Hallelujah. He loves you with an everlasting love. He cares about every person that's standing here. And Satan has tried to tell you that's not true. He understands, and he is God Almighty. God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And the whole world is in his hand. And he reaches out to you tonight. Thank him because he defeated all of Satan's plans on the cross. And he has a good plan for you. He has a good plan for you. Thank him for it tonight. And claim the victory. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the victory. We resist the fear of the enemy. We resist it. And we cast it off. And we embrace your love and your promises that are eternal. And we accept your victory. Give us the faith tonight as we reach out to you and claim it in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we claim the victory for every soul standing at this altar. Walk out of here praising him, thanking him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I carry Psalm 91 with me, because when I had such fear, I always carry Psalm 91. Now, there's nothing magic about it, but when I prayed and sought God, I took Psalm 91. You can take Psalm 34, Psalm 91. And I said, that's going to stand with me. I'm going to trust this. And I overcame incredible fear. I wouldn't be here tonight if I hadn't have. But God, by the word of God, now take those promises and discard your feeling and say, I believe that instead of what I feel down in the fear that I have, I'm going to believe the promises of God. And God's going to put faith in you. Hallelujah. And you're going to walk out of here and let the word of God be in you. And you take that faith with you, and you go in the name of Jesus, and you resist the fear, and you take the promises of God and stand on them and get them to be yours. And it's God's word to you, and he's got an experience for you. And don't you accept defeat, and don't you accept that fear, and you fight that fear with the promises of God and with faith in God, and you will be a winner, and God will give you the victory. And you can have the same testimony that we've got. He wants to give it to you. Take it tonight in the name of Jesus. Go with him. God bless you. Hallelujah.